you have the heart to kill, then you gang bang. You never told me if I take his life, his pain is for a second, but it's ever present in his baby's life. You carried the spirit of banging across the nation, and they embraced it cause you put it in song formation. You taught me I don't need school, I can rap, and while I'm waiting for my music to move, I can trap. I used to want to be one. You told me hate the cops. Now they can only beat and mistreat us cause we ain't the cops. I thought you had my best interest. Maybe not. So I'm writing this letter to tell you. Thanks a lot. He left me tons of messages, but I must not have got them. I guess you must have lost them, but anyway, I found them. When I was just a youngin', you told me daddy left. I ran a check, it says he's always been at that address. He said it's me who left him, he just respected my choice. You showed me candy and toys, and I was just a boy. He told me wait for sex, but we ain't wanna wait. Now it's abortion and broken homes, plus a bunch of A's. He told me to love my woman, protect and provide. You told me if I love her, do it for only a night. He said if you love her, then wife her, and going for life like a life. And man up and make sure your family tight. I never withhold good from you, but it has to be right. And if it ain't, then you may have to wait until after this life. He said to speak up when you see injustice. It's thinking you're weak when you speak on evil that leads to what the streets are becoming. He told me our children were innocent. You teach them sexual dances. We tape it and place it on the internet. He told me love my brother, almost like what you said. But you said if he looked at me wrong, I could bust his head. He said his son is over everything. You either serve God or money. You told me money over everything. He said it's never too late to come and join the family. He said they all been waiting for me, they rejoiced to have me. And that's the point of this letter. I wrote it so you know that as sure as you hold this note, I decided I'm going home.
Once again, that was Bizzle, B-I-Z-Z-L-E, and his track Dear Hip Hop from the Good Fight 2013 project. And every time I hear like a, you know, hip hop track, or I'm in that space where I'm like, you know, again, my perspective, but when I feel that music is going to a place of more degeneracy and demeaning messaging toward various groups, as Bizzle touched on, most predominantly women, and even still, though, talking about the effects on African-American men as well, such as the idea that all this hyper-masculinity advocated in hip-hop tracks and popular hip-hop tracks is a lifestyle, and respectfully, it's not. It's a very dangerous one. It's a choice. It's an option, definitely. But it's not a lifestyle, like an actual something you can make constructively of one's life. Just a forewarning on that, because it's a dangerous path, as Bizzle entailed in his track. And getting back into this notion of just trying to reach that audience and trying to really stamp down who their identity is an artist, I was looking back to this log I'm filling out here for each song that I play to pick copyrights to its respective artists. And I'm in awe and in amazement at just reading these in this particular order, with Bizzle's label being God Over Money Records, and talking about that predominant, you know, touch in hip hop, where a lot of people will sell out for the daughter, the dollar. If anybody knows the story of Katy Perry that was released, it's she was also herself going to be a Christian artist, but you know, what sold more was her touching on different artists and audiences that may not have been reaching to biblical audiences. Goodness, artist audiences, again. choosing the route is, it's a choice, and there's consequences in life. That's the blunt theme of the messaging, I think, from these artists to take away. And in reaching that message, speaking of reach, ironically, looking at Bizzle's God Over Money Records, Lecrae's Reach Records, and D1's Mission Vision, it's, again, you got to know the artists, because I see one too many times social media, they get bashed. As hard as some people perceive I bash artists like Bruno Mars or even Lil Wayne or 50 Cent or Jay-Z, do keep in mind that those artists more often are not get accepted by a wide range of audiences. The Bible warns about that. And it's not a sense of judgment, it's a cognizant message that, regardless of how it's said, should be taken. It's, don't be too enamored with the world, because if you're in sync with the world, if you're in synthesis with the world, that oftentimes comes into conflict with God's messaging. And so, even I'm still learning this myself, building that armor to take that honesty, because in the truest form of respect you can give someone is honesty. And I see D1 getting attacked for trying to just encourage audiences to consider a Magic City night in an audience space at an NBA game where kids go. Why would that be something we want to advertise in our culture? Lecrae, in his journey, you know, being someone at the Grammys he shared in his book, who just got photos on the red carpet out of, as he remembers calling it, pity by some photographers. If they would walk away as soon as he walked up. He didn't do anything different. Anything different from what, you know, a Jay-Z would have done? Anything different from what a Sylvia Robinson, the godmother of hip-hop, would have done? He didn't do anything different other than take his hip-hop and deliver a message. And it's indicative, because when you do take that departure, it shows. You will be challenged. And I'm still learning this myself, because oftentimes I do get met with that by a myriad of just interactions. It's sometimes it's taking aback, still learning how to deal with it, but do know that in that notion of trying to reach, of keeping that purposeful vision, there's going to be animosity met with that. And it's sometimes people just don't have the brain capacity to understand what you're going to do, but you know Jesus gave you that task for a reason. He gave you that streak for a reason. If you really weren't, as I once read from one of the tweets that was reposted by these artists, if you really weren't supposed to be here, why would God, who designed everything in this world, down to the smallest microcell, add you into it? And if this not value, and if your energy is not valued, if your heart is not valued, if every time you're met with someone who can't even comprehend what your thought process was, yes, get the action. The action may not have resulted well. But if you know good and well someone's intent wasn't out there, and I'm talking mostly to my coaches, professors, not that they be listening to this, but I'm talking to those moments and that energy. That's what D1 also clarifies, talking to the demons, which often is what results getting upsetting. He's talking to the demons, because if you're not able to see that, that's a shame on you. That's not Christ-like at all. That's a shame. And that's not me judging. That's biblical. If you're going to accept the demons, that's one thing on your end. And that also goes for the person who feels that way, because at the same time, you have to understand that others have more experience than you. I still have to understand that myself. And it's oftentimes what I find gets me into that trouble. But I often do find that a lot, that some instances, not many, but some of them do show where a streak of disrespect that I allow and convey comes across. But that comes with choosing that choice. It's a balancing act at the end of the day. So, and in some ways, it can leave you feeling kind of hollow as a shell emotionally a lot of times. And I do think that's where this next artist I mentioned earlier, Dayton, he comes in with his track, A Dead Man's Tale. And this one took me aback, because when I see his video on Instagram, when I see the album cover, I'm thinking this guy's rapping like horrorcore and like demon rock in one. It's like, no, his statement is very similar to the messaging of Attention by D1. He's walking audiences through something that's been, you know, commonly cited as a positive in 50 Cent's delivery of rhetoric, by the way. Dayton's walking audiences through a lifestyle and a mindset, not just judging from the outside, not just saying he was in it, but actually reflecting on moments that he experienced of his own come up in the hip-hop world. And he calls it A Dead Man's Tale, featuring MC Jin and Eamon, if I'm not mistaken, Eamon, where it's like, yeah, I sold out, and this is what happened. These were the lined-up consequences that happened. And so his forewarning is called A Dead Man's Tale. In my opinion, a similar pun on the Dead Men Tell No Tales common moniker in our culture of wisdom and proverbs, it would be. So I'm going to play this track here. It's one of the latest additions to the library I've added, and also just, it's been something that's on my repeat, because I'm just listening back and forth like, huh, That's the messaging trying to be conveyed. Not just some perverted sex, not just glamorizing the lifestyle of danger. He actually is like, oh my gosh, this is what happened. These are the consequences. This is my dead man's tale, because that version of me has now died since I've been renewed in Christ. Not necessarily saying I'm better than that version, but now that I see that, I have an option to do better, and prayerfully, with the steps I'm taking that are departing from that, do better. Again, important distinction. It's an important distinction, because that's where oftentimes these artists receive controversy from those who are unable to make that distinction. So I want to make sure I clarify that as I play the track. A Dead Man's Tale by Dayton, D-A-T-I-N, on WMEC-FM, broadcasting live atop the South Campus Dining Hall. Check it out. God over money.
All the chronicles of a dishonest fool, the tale of a hellbound teenager with a mind consumed by lust and greedy. Rushed to see these rappers on the tube. They had the things he wanted, so he started rhyming too. Facts. I promise you, he made an impact like comets do. All the underground heard was a sonic boom. On the battle scene, he demolished dudes to a molecule. He started buzzing, he pursued rapping, dropped out of school. Yes. He hit the lab and started recording demonic tunes, bragging about all the narcotics moves that kept his wallet full, and how he's a G that drew more weapons than them comic dudes. Labels calling, now we gotta choose who's he signing to. Mixtape money kept his diamonds blue. He bought all kinds of jewels, and then people were starting to acknowledge who he was. And when he hit the club, them groupies were on pursuit. He had Mortel follow him around the Sonic too. You would think he would be happy, he was fulfilling dreams, but he couldn't help but feel deceived. There was still a need for something more. These pleasures he pursued weren't real, they fleed. He tried it all, but nothing worked, so this dude kneeled on knees and turned to God. Someone told him, if he will believe, he will indeed fulfill the need of his heart, and he will complete his soul. So this villain did, and now this villain's free. He's completed in Christ, I know, because this villain's me.
Hey. Ever seen a man rotten dead while he's still free? Oh, oh. I just seen a man pray to the Father like, oh, oh. Jesus, God the Son, took it all away and said it's done. Oh. Ever seen a man rotten dead while he's still free? Hey, yo, Dayton.
Let me tell my tale. At 17, our only dream was getting unsigned. Hype, Illmatic was the blueprint. Who didn't want 5 mics? Way before God's son, it was written on my life. The source of light shines different when you're glistening from Christ. Back then, it was all about me whenever I would rock. Destined for the top, forever the center of the plot. Pumping Eclipse and DMX, a lost soul, I never stop. Lord willing, I find my way, cause it's dark and hell is hot. Double law changed my life when they put that chain on my neck. When we parted ways, ain't know what kind of pain to expect. That's when I realized the real prize was confiding in him, cause Jesus already chose to ride or die for my sins. Amen. Industry rule 4082, the record industry can turn good people shady too. Until I'm in my grave, I'm grateful, y'all don't know the half of it. Fame's a drug, and every day I pray I don't relapse from it. My flesh is weak, I'm dependent on his grace, pursuing holiness, but it's a never ending chase. If I never battle again, won't see my legacy erased. Went from smack DVD to smacking the devil in his face. The world's brutal, make moves or get moved to the side. I'm dying daily, doing what I gotta do to survive. What's the truth or a lie? It's not up to you to decide. If you ain't living for the gospel, were you truly alive?
Yeah. Ever seen a man rotten dead while he still breathes? Oh, oh. I just seen a man pray to the Father like, oh, oh. Jesus, God the Son, took it all away and said it's done. Seen a man rotten dead while he's still breathing.
Once again, that was A Dead Man's Tale by Dayton, MC Jin, and Iman from the single release on this one. I thought it was a new album called New Art. I think that's one of Dayton's projects recently. But again, just don't want to give anything prematurely away if it's not released yet. But that is one of the interesting singles in his roster. And interesting, speaking of making distinctions, I want to go ahead and add on these next few tracks, because in my observation of there being a lot of artists who have tainted into that notion of money over God mentality, or hypermasculinity, or toxic lyricism in general, there have been those artists in that space who have operated within that space before, who actually took moments to want to go ahead and add something saw a diverse perspective to their audiences, because some artists, not many, but some of them do understand that audiences have different perspectives, and that sometimes the audiences do internalize a lot of that messaging. And so, again, shame on the receiver, not the messenger. But again, this it's about being literate. And so thankfully, these artists by the name of Dead Prez, they released a track called It's Bigger Than Hip Hop, really getting at this shift that they detected all the way back, and if I'm not mistaken, the year 2000, according to the release date of this EP. So again, getting ahead of that observation, getting ahead of the game in terms of, whoa, this is about to happen, kind of trying to forewarn audiences that a lot of the musical shift in terms of the messaging is upon us. So just kind of that really review back in the history, if I'm not mistaken, kind of the scroll back method, as I understand from communication theory, looking back through messages and archives that kind of predate current events, it would be. And this song by Dead Prez is Bigger Than Hip Hop. I feel that genuinely this is kind of the notion of my whole thesis, my whole observation perspective, as well as the other tracks. If I had to put a playlist together, that would be really dope. I may just explore that option on my Instagram for releasing content. But bigger than content, bigger than hip-hop, bigger than music, this is really about the messaging. And so this is Dead Prez, it's Bigger Than Hip-Hop, here on WMUC-FM College Park, where college radio is good radio. Take a listen, check it out.
When it hit, you feel no pain. White folks say it controls your brain. I know better than that. That's game, man. We ready for that. Two soldiers head of the pack. Matter of fact, who got the
war?
And where my army at? Rather attack and not react. Back to beats, it don't reflect on how many records get sold on sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Whether your projects put on hold in the real world. These just people with ideas. They just like me and you when the smoke and cameras disappear again. The real world. It's bigger than all these fake records. Wait, po folks got the millions and my woman's disrespected. If you check 1-2, my word of advice to you is just relax. Just do what you got to do. If that don't work, then kick the fact. If you a fighter, ride a bada, flame igniter, crowd exciter, or you wanna just get high and just say it. But then if you a lie, pants on fire, wolf cry, agent with a why, I'm gon' know it when I play it. It's bigger than
Smalls. If we don't get them, they gon' get us all. I'm down for running up on them in they city hall. We ride for y'all, all my dogs, stay real. Don't think these record deals gon' feed your season, pay your bills, because they not. MCs get a little bit of love and think they hot. Talking about how much money they got. All y'all records sound the same. I'm sick of that fake thug R&B rap scenario all day on the radio. Same scenes in the video, monotonous material. Y'all don't hear me though. These record labels slang our tapes like dope. You could be next in line and sign and still be writing rhymes and rope. You would rather have a Lexus or Justice, a dream or some substance, a Beamer, a necklace, or freedom. Sisters like me don't play a hate, I just stay awake. This real hip hop, and it don't stop till we get the popo off the block. They call it hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip. It's bigger than. John Blaze and shit.
check that wavy bass line out. That's what I'm talking about. That's, you know, the beat can always be good. I'm gonna modify a quote I read about a sonnet by Sonic the Hedgehog video games. They look, in this case I'm gonna paraphrase it, lyrics can be trash. Lyrics can be absolutely demeaning to a culture and a community. But the beats, they gonna be the beats. If you gotta fly, that's what sells the stuff. It's the beats. You gotta put the lyrics into it, because that's the work, in my opinion. The beats are easy. You can make everybody's got a melody that's going to be unique. It's going to be outstanding. It's going to be dynamic. It's going to be something the world will absolutely love. That's in life. There's always going to be that audience that will vibe with artists. This is what jazz artists did. Miles Davis, Charlie Parker. You got to look at artists, you know, who did those things and were unique with their craft. The music was always great. That's what jazz was really. When you look back at jazz now, and some of the classes I've taken and some of the books I read about the history of jazz, it's always analyzing, ooh, look at the way this artist did this. Or, hey, Charlie Parker was dynamic in the way he added this trumpet solo. Miles Davis, milestones, again, peak jazz writing. But there's a peak, again, trying to apply a term here from a different era to another time period. But just, you know, you analyze that from a retrospective observation. Again, trying to say retrospective perspective kind of seems contradictory, or not contradictory, it seems overly repetitive and redundant, but, you know, kind of looking at that from a review point of view, that is interesting. But looking at that in retrospect, I'm just keep it simple and say that you analyze the beats more than you analyze the lyrics. And for artists, in my opinion, the work is the lyrics. You can make a beat and it's always going to be unique. You can make, like, look, not like us, of all the diss tracks Kendrick leaked, that was the one that tapped into the hyphy movement of California. Of all the tracks, I mean, what got people talking about Drake's retort was the use of AI Tupac. I mean, there's always going to be that beat, but when you make a distinction, and again, AI Tupac's a poor sense of what I'm trying to convey here, but looking at, you know, Drake's following, the beats are always what carry, respectfully, in my opinion, an analysis of his discography. It's always what carries Drake's success. Like, he can just ad-lib or say anything or whatnot, have you. And again, as we're seeing with reactions from artists, is what gets him in trouble a lot of times. But what sells on Drake's works is the beat. I think back to Best I Ever Had. Probably the only Drake song in my library that I actively, like, wanted to get that wasn't a part of a compilation. But I didn't get it because, you know, I thought, oh my goodness, these are some dope and respective lyrics. I thought that beat was really well done. The Best I Ever Had was just one of those really, like solid track compositions, I thought. But again, what sells? What gets me interested? And it's not just me. I'm looking at the Get Rich or Die Trying by 50 Cent retrospective reviews. When the late Irv Gotti got in an interview, he shared once, and again, I have to pull this interview. I found it on Instagram, but it was an excerpt, I think, from Vlad TV or a conversation he had on a podcast with a host. And he was saying, like, we knew when 50 dropped that beat for In the Club. Like, when we heard the bum, bum, we were like, oh, yeah, no, we know. That's it. It didn't matter, like, what came out next. And just so happened that 50 Cent put on lyrics that people would just, you know, relate to. Because, again, in my opinion, he employed some instrumentalization of his voice where he added on, like, his hook, like, da ba 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 ba. It's just dancing in between the, you know, vocal work. Something that Ja Rule, his rival and also musical contemporary, did at that time as well. But 50 Cent had a more, like, laid-back, casual, suave voice about it in his track, so it resonated more easily with listeners' ears because it was more in line with the song, melodically speaking, just because of the tone of just so happened to be his voice. But again, looking back, that's what gets analyzed in Get Rich or Die Trying. Yes, there's the very fanciful narration of trying to capture that mentality and that lifestyle and the storytelling and narration of it. But what really gets people hooked is, like, oh my goodness, Dr. Dre totally cooked that beat. Eminem, he cooked on Patiently Waiting, that very triumphant opening trumpet that goes into just that slow creep up Mystery Machine Scooby-Doo kind of, oh my goodness, look every corner. Like, it was musically capturing that motion. And when you look back through histories of hip hop, that's what gets people. Pharrell Williams' discography, all the number ones those artists got, from Gwen Stefani to Snoop Dogg, it was because the sound, Drop It Like It's Hot, captured Snoop Dogg's vibe. Holla Back Girl, it was Gwen Stefani's very triumphant departure. And as, again, Usher's a prime example of this, someone who really was successful off of the melodic workings of producers like Jimmy Jam, Terry Lewis, even Jermaine Dupri, and even, again, Pharrell. Everybody's singing now in this era of, you know, this Gen Z dating world. You don't have to call if you're a guy getting rejected. You know, if you're a guy who's like, look, I don't need all this. I don't need all any interaction with women. if I'm already in this space where, like, you know, I've been rejected, I've been disrespected, it's like, what do I want to feel? Like, what do I feel? And you don't have to call captures that. Now, again, shame on the receiver, not the messenger, if you internalize that, because at some level, you command respect. Simple as that. Simple lesson I take away, anyway. But again, it's that notion that the beat would sell more than the lyrics. So, I mean, because without the lyrics, again, to D1's point, I mean, without the beat, do you see yourself saying the lyrics? And again, maybe you do. Maybe it resonates with that example I brought up of a guy who's been rejected in the dating world and disrespected by someone he had an interest in. Again, Kings, shame on you. Take notes. Take notes, man. But it's that some will resonate with that message. But in the grand scheme of audiences, what resonates is the beat. The guitar strumming with the synthesizers, the aerospace kind of effects of use that are used and you don't have to call, that gets analyzed in retrospect. Like when you look back at a certain artist's body of work, it's like, oh, that's a banger. Or even, you know, the mix I've seen online with Soulja Boy's Kiss Me Through the Phone that gets DJ transitioned into the beat of Snap Your Fingers by Lil Jon. What you're looking at as a DJ is how do those beats line up? And what I've seen in just the mashups is amazing, in my opinion, because it's just you have an in-depth understanding what gets the crowd hype. As a DJ, as I'm reading in Adam Banks' Digital Griot, you're kind of a time capsule. Because when you drop a beat, lyrics can, you know, lyrics are the second thing, if I'm understanding this correctly. When you drop a throwback hit, like, for example, not that artist, I'm not thinking of that artist. Prime example, scene from a movie. I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, Love and Basketball, if I'm not mistaken, or Brown Sugar. I forget which title it was. I want to pay respect to those actors and the intellectual property that went into that work. But it was a scene where a black man and a black woman, longtime buddies, I think bordering romance or just meaning buddies, I'm not sure of the dynamic, but I know they got connected on this song that came on the radio called Black Sheep, The Choice Is Yours. More commonly known in audiences of this generation, you can get with this or you can get with that. And as soon as it hit the beat of the building up bass line, the drum hits, like, lyrics just come afterwards. As soon as you recognize, oh, that's that song. Or, you know, when you drop a track and it's just like, oh, wait, I can feel that beat coming up. One song that did that, I think, really well in 2022, again, regardless of my opinions about the artist, Industry Babe by Lil Nas and Jack Harlow. Like, you hear that triumphant horn first. Or even best example I can probably give is Go-Go Music. Go-Go Music echoing the culture, the rhythmic vibe of the culture. It's why, in my opinion, a song like Freaky Little Games by Tony Terry goes a little further in the go-go version than it does in the regular. Again, phenomenal work. But at parties, you're putting on DJ Rico and Tony Terry's Freaky Little Games go-go remix. Again, not a fan of saying that name several times. So getting off that point, the beat always will be good. The lyrics are where the work comes in for the artist, in my opinion. So getting in that vein, I also want to go ahead and jump back to an artist that I think understood that a lot better than many, because this artist's pen was so deep. He just did so much, in my opinion, to kind of try his best to balance off what was being advertised to do and be successful with doing something that would be relevant to a struggle. And this is an artist that I even feel more closely related to this one than D1 in a lot of instances. This man's name is Earl Simmons. And speaking of anime, I started off the show giving a reflection to Afrika Bambaataa's passing. This man, Earl Simmons, more commonly known to audiences as Darkman X or DMX for short, he passed on the exact same day 5 years prior. And it just struck me because I was like, oh my gosh, DMX is an artist I heavily resonate with. And to hear Afrika Bambaataa pass in that same, like, day 5 years later, like, I'm still back, like, oh my gosh, DMX is gone at the age of 50. And given this guy's work, this man's work as an artist, he himself was not a perfect person. In a lot of instances, like myself, he was very emotionally vulnerable and didn't do as much. Again, my perspective, synthesizing with him, may be off in some instances I share this, but didn't do enough, I think, to shield himself from the emotional blowback of this cruel and very often violent world. Like, I remember how he talked about a lot of his peers got him into drugs. The industry was calling for him to rap about sex and all this other stuff. And for the most part, he stayed true to what he wanted to rap about by taking on a persona of aggression, kind of rage against the system. And not to quote a band's name, but kind of raging against the machine. And so DMX, in my opinion, has a high level of respect whenever I hear his works, no matter what format they take, with the unfortunate exception being anything related to his, you know, respectfully 15 children. Like, dude, keep your pants on, respectfully. But, and nonetheless, I do believe he strived to be a better person because of what, again, talking earlier what I said about Andy Mineo, the consistency in what he chose to do. He would always come back to an introspective track. He would always come back to something relevant. It may not have always been Christian, but it was something relevant to one's well-being, feeding the soul. He would talk about in songs he did with Rakim and Chantel, for example, you know, talking about you have to cut off certain people when they try to come back out of the blue and just ask you for favors now that you're successful, when they find your name, you got to be cognizant of that. He talked about in a track like Slippin', where he's talking about all these things in life that I go through and just, you know, or all things in life he would go through that he talks about, again, so trying to separate the synthesis from the actual differences here. But with DMX, he would talk about in Slippin' just, you know, his journey and his drive and how it took him to places where, looking back, he's like, my goodness, I survived that. But it was probably very much unnecessary that I had to go through it, in terms of just, I didn't probably need to go to a dangerous space to become a relevant artist. Even Where the Hood At, like talking about some aspects of the hood he appreciates that aren't related necessarily to violence, but talking about the authenticity, where he addresses people, you know, portraying an image but not really living it. And again, something I try to strive myself to do, and being authentic and balancing that with audience and respective audiences. But at some level, to his point, you got to be real, because that's the truest form of respect you'll ever give to anyone. Because if you just don't address it, I mean, as I say, shame on the receiver, not the messenger. I'm speaking to myself every time I say that, because, you know, you can be hurt, but that's your choice to be hurt. And you can also choose to get back. That's your choice to get back. And you can also choose to, you know, let it wash over you like water. And that's the trickiest thing I think I'm finding to do right now. And again, doesn't justify feeling that way, but you got to do better. I got to do better about letting that wash over. So it is interesting that DMX, you know, and maybe it's just me, so I will give credit to that person that did once quote that not everybody has to listen to what you listen to. A very small-minded statement, but a very true opinion nonetheless. Because at the end of the day, when you sit back and you're like, you know, I listen to these things because I'm trying to be better. Maybe that's what it is, because I know energy is embodied through music. I know that from studies I've taken, because, again, not to be a know-it-all, but I have taken music theory courses to validate the perspectives and provide some credibility of what I'm reasoning at here. But, you know, looking at DMX and what he tried to do, I think he truly understood that pen. And again, just thanking these artists to give me a space to resonate with their works and be more aligned with it. Not just a stereotypical, oh, I'm woke and conscious, so I'm listening to Tupac. No, go through, find those tracks. Don't just look back and look at Grandmaster Flash. Look at the artists we're trying to take after that. Don't just look at Kendrick Lamar because of the feud. Look back. Kendrick Lamar was that guy advocating for years. And even in Not Like Us, I will always encourage people to really think about the third verse when he opens up about once upon a time all of us was in chains. Like, he still tied in his true roots to a track that was not necessarily related on a matter of his true roots and what he tried to do. And again, encouraging a lot of people to really try the perspective. And again, shame on me as well, because I'm also fueling some of this off of seeing reactions to D1's announcement about just his interviews and all the people attacking him because he's standing on a soul feeding message. He's not going to back down because what he's saying is right. Not just opinionated right. There's a fact and there's opinion. This generation of audience, my generation, and oftentimes myself included, don't separate that enough. And if they can't handle it, if we can't handle it, if I can't handle it, that's a shame on the receiver, not the messenger. Because the messenger is doing what God put them there to do. Again, going back to that statement earlier, God thought enough to put that person in this world, regardless of how much they're being persecuted for doing the right thing. It's what made Dr. King's. It's what made John Lewis's. It's what made Jesse Jackson's. It's what made Malcolm X. They all chose to do right and were persecuted relentlessly for, but nonetheless never gave up. So that's what I feel when I listen to these artists. And getting back to the next song I'm about to play, that's what I feel specifically about DMX. How he chose to take on the persona of Dark Man X, the aggression. But nonetheless, he knew that he had a following, and he knew that it was his responsibility as a poet, as a writer, as a lyricist, as whatever you want to call him, an activist, as an artist, to convey a possible future and a positive direction. So, in this sense, he's introspectively speaking to the Lord, and in my opinion, inviting audiences to listen to that conversation as he shares his perceptions and his desires to do better with God and talking about these things in a very unicorn kind of track in his discography. This is his most, in my opinion, dedicated track to God that's not like a prayer 1, 2, 3, or 4 skit from one of his earlier albums. This is a full-on dedication to his love and relationship with God called Lord Give Me a Sign, here on WMEC-FM, College Park, College Radio's Good Radio. Check it out.
In the name of Jesus, yes. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Preach. And every tongue that rises against me in judgment, thou shalt condemn.
Lord, give me a sign.
For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Preach. And that righteousness is of me, said the Lord.
Preach.
Amen.
Lord, give me a sign.
I really need to talk to you, Lord. Since the last time we talked, the walk has been hard. Now I know you haven't left me, but I feel like I'm alone. I'm a big boy now, but I'm still not grown. And I'm still going through it. Pain and a hurt. Soaking up trouble like rain in the dirt. And I know only I can stop the rain with just a mention of my Savior's name. In the name of Jesus. Devil, I rebuke you for what I go through and trying to make me do what I used to. But all that stops right here. As long as the Lord's in my life, I will have no fear. I will know no pain from the light to the dark. I will show no shame, spit it right from the heart. Cause it's right from the start. You held me down and ain't nothing they can tell me now. Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Please show me something. I'm tired of talking to him, knowing he frightened. Crying about life ain't nothing. One mad cause you trapped or the one hunting. Trapped in your own mind waiting on the Lord. A hunting with the word that cuts like a sword. The spoken word is stronger than the strongest man. Carries the whole world like the strongest hand. Through the trials and tribulations you never let us down. Jesus, I know you're here with us now. Jesus, I know you're still with us now. Keep it real with us now. I want to feel, show me how. Please let me take your hand, guide me. I walk slow but stay right beside me. Devil's trying to find me, hide me. Hold up, I take that back. Protect me and give me the strength to fight.
Lord, give me a sign.
Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know what I'm gonna find. It's all in time. Show me how to teach the mind. Show me how to reach the blind.
Lord, give me a sign.
Show me what I got to do to bring me closer to you. Cause I'ma go through whatever you want me to. Just let me know what to do.
Lord, give me a sign.
Life or death, live or die. I will never live a lie. I'm gonna get.
Coming up next is a little bit of an interesting departure, not really a departure of genre. Talk about hip-hop artists, but also hip-hop fusion artists. I talked about Pharrell Williams earlier, and he himself has also made a couple of songs dedicated to just uplifting messaging and content, often sourced around Christianity-based themes. So it's very interesting, and this one track comes from the recording his band did off the album Nothing by the band Nerd with Che Haley and Chad Hugo. And this song is called God Bless Us All, and it really talks about using your gifts to their best potential. And so it's another song that if I had to put together a playlist of motivating themes and doing better with the content we've been given, then this would be on that list hands down, because I feel it's a really important message. And I've been kind of echoing that throughout the show, kind of draw a distinction. Another artist also who may not be oriented directly in the Christian themes, but very much has that Christian upbringing. And then after that, I'm going to play a track that has an interesting kind of spin on this today's thesis and notion. But yeah, Pharrell Williams, Shay Haley and Chad Hugo, the band Nerd, from their 2010 Nothing album called God Bless Us All. Check it out. Pharrell Williams, Shay Haley, and Chad Hugo's Nerd with the track God Bless Us All off their 2010 Nothing album. Again, love the fact that Pharrell had like a whole bunch of fusion crossover tracks in his discography and that he did take the time to go ahead and reflect that, yeah, we have gifts, and gifts are meant to be shared in a lot of instances. Sometimes definitely gifts are meant to be, you know, shared at a certain time as well. That's, I think, the key as well with a lot of these releases. So, I'm going to go ahead and sound like a hypocrite here, because I did mention I do listen to one of the artists I mentioned earlier, 50 Cent. I didn't talk about this enough, but after personally listening to Get Rich or Die Trying, to make sure I'm maintaining credibility here before I just go off and judge off the surface of reviews, I actually listened to the full album, with the exception of one track that's submitted on the edited version, because as a DJ, I don't vibe with purchasing explicit tracks. If the artist can't say it on the radio, then in my opinion, it shouldn't be echoed. But, nonetheless, I listened to Get Rich or Die Trying. And a lot of the tracks were definitely what I expected, but throughout different sections, I was surprised. Because I think one of the things that also made 50 successful off of this album was the use of Christian rhetoric through different verses. For example, on the song If I Can't, this is God's plan, homie, this ain't mine. As he quoted, talking about people not being able to stop him at this point, because if he survived, as he holds up as a badge of his legacy, as if he was able to survive nine gunshots to his body and still survive, and others haven't even survived with less shots, then God has me here for a reason. Definitely a relevant statement, in my opinion. And not just that one, talking, it was another track he had on the album called Gotta Make It to Heaven. And I was surprised. I wouldn't expect in this album that was oriented around hyper-masculinity, gangster themes, and not just from readings using these words, but actually listening to the tracks for songs like PAMP or Into Club, for example, and hearing how deeply chauvinistic he was in his approach. But nonetheless, what really got me thinking was, why make a song Gotta Make It to Heaven? And it got back down to this notion that, and if I'm taking this correctly, given the lyrics and the way they're put out there, my perspective on this is, I know this world's out to get me. I know that this world got Tupac already. I know that this world got Biggie. It didn't matter how big they were, they got them. I could be an artist grinding on the underground hip-hop scene like he was before he got shot. And what I took from Gotta Make It to Heaven is, all these things are out here to get me. And it's not just emotional stuff. It's physical spears. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, but a lot of these weapons do hurt still. And so I think in this notion of this venturing into Christian oriented themes, 50 Cent definitely made an impact with this track, Gotta Make It to Heaven. And I wanted to play it because I do feel some relevant messaging. And what really gets me about the track is that he found a way. He could have rapped about anything else with regards to get backs or otherwise, but it's really leaning heavily into Christian themes. And this third verse opens up with a commonly shared prayer: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Of all the things he could have weaved into this song, he put that out there, which really signified to me, it's like, this track's a departure. Like, he could have rapped about getting back at a rival. He could have rapped about some beef he had. He could have rapped about taking out somebody, as he's rapped before. He chose to rap about a song like, God, I know you see me down here and I might not be doing the best things, but I'm really in the root of my heart trying to do things that I feel will impact enough and indicate my heart's intent and prayerfully make it to heaven. Especially if I'm going through this situation on earth with all these snakes in the grass, as he put it, going through hell. So, Gotta Make It to Heaven by 50 Cent, the closing track on the standard track listing before the bonus tracks of Get Rich or Die Trying, here on WMUC-FM, where college radio is about to be even greater radio. Check it out.
Going through hell, gotta make it to heaven, gotta make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven. I'm going through hell, I gotta make it to heaven. I hope I make it.
Some
to
say
heaven.
I'm paranoid, I say I'm careful, I choose my friends. I've been to ICU once, I ain't going again. First D got me, then Roy got me. And homie still in the hood, why he ain't getting hurt? I smell some fishy, man, it might get wrecked. You switch your sides on just like that. You know me, I stay with him on the knees and get the way in the hood like a government cheese. Yo, Suzuki's 1100 cc's, no plate on the back, straight in the hood. They identified by their car, so I switch up with to stay off the radar. I ain't gotta be around to make it hot. I send the AO to the block, cause if I say get it done, you make it. If you're around me, son,
I gotta make it to heaven. I'm going through hell, I gotta make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven. For going through hell, I gotta make it to heaven. I hope I make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven. For going through hell, I gotta make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven. For going through hell, I gotta make it to heaven. I hope I make it.
When
to
I
heaven.
Come through the hood, I don't stop to rap. You posting up to smack you. Then pop out of front, so I wave the chrome of this. Point blank range, I spaz through a bone of this. 2 weeks later, came through with me to lay me down. This got played dead and got the off the ground. Out the blue, I get a phone call. 50, what up? This in the to me, I said, it's back. I don't play that. I done told you, boy. If you don't meet, you gon' meet one of my soldiers, boy. Cousin Twist, this mama crib, now he in jail. Tripping on flex of blue control and black tail. Pop mama move, but she don't talk to him no more. do the hinge off her dough. Put out that check every month, how she gonna pay for the crib? Man, social service finna come and take them kids.
I gotta make it to heaven, I'm going through hell. I gotta make it to heaven, I gotta make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven, I'm going through hell. I gotta make it to heaven, I hope I make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven, I'm going through hell. I gotta make it to heaven, I gotta make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven, I'm going through hell. I gotta make it to heaven, I hope I make it to heaven.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, the wisdom to know the difference. The AA, they make you say that. That's the prayer they burn in your head when you in KSAC. Man, I might talk to you while we up in them pins, but when we come home, that don't mean we gon' be friends. Bash your head close enough to hear and whistle. Thank God they missed you, and go grab it. In the hood, running around acting crazy, buying little weird Jordans for maybe babies. See, it might be his, and it might be yours, cause them broads in the projects is straight up. Man, it don't take much for you to get them. You can have them on their back or own. You ain't got to tell me you feeling it, cause I hear what I'm saying, I know I'm killing it.
I gotta make it to heaven, I'm going through hell. I gotta make it to heaven, I gotta make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven, I'm going through hell. I gotta make it to heaven, I hope I make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven, I'm going through hell. I gotta make it to heaven, I gotta make it to heaven. I gotta make it to heaven, I'm going through hell. I gotta make it to heaven, I hope I make it to heaven.
But this thing, Gotta Make It to Heaven. Again, that's the closing track on the standard edition of Get Rich or Die Trying. Very interesting track there. Again, in my opinion, a departure from the rest of the tracks, or the rest of the track listings themes there. Kind of like a plea to God that, you know, this is crazy out here. May you please help me out. Help me get out of this. And prayerfully, if I don't get out of this, may you help me guide toward a path that would, you know, get me to heaven. And it's a very interesting plea there. I remember talking with my brothers, was also just really in-depth understanding, like, the lyrical messaging of music. I remember talking with him, and he said, like, in a joking tone, it's like, that's 50 Cent? Okay, bud. Again, you do you, man. But no, I thought it was interesting, his reaction, because it's a very common, in my opinion, reaction when you think about the other works. And not just 50 Cent, but artists don't often indulge in not just Christian-oriented themes. I want to make that distinction clear, uplifting positive themes. And again, not saying it's an easy task to do, because there is a whole bunch of things in life we all independently go through, and we all need that grace. I mean, the people going through it, also the people around them. And so, again, nobody's perfect. This is all a life journey. And again, what I hope gets taken away from this episode as I dive into the potential for purpose-driven tracks is I'm not professing this is the only way. I want that distinction to be very clear. Because I've had interactions where people think that it's about me indulging my track. No. It's not about me telling what the right music is. It's saying that this is again, being an advocate in a very marginalized group of voices, that there is more. There is more than just what sells. There is more than just please me. There is more than just that. It's about please. How about please God? How about we do more to connect community? How about we do more as an artist? And even 50 Cent in one of his recent interviews admitted, it's that real impact. Sure, I can get all the cars at the top. He advocates a lot of times, like, I've gotten all the things I wanted to materialistically get, but what I really found rewarding from talking with mentors and even exploring in my own endeavors in a business, you impact others and you impact the community. And so I think it's my note, if I leave you all with one thing, if this is the last day on my show or last time in life in general, if I leave nothing else on the floor with this sentiment, it's always about uplifting more than one. It's about, you know, checking yourself before you wreck yourself. It's about making sure that you go out and knowing what's out in the world, be prepared for it. And it's tricky not to internalize it. If I can give any piece of advice, try best not to internalize it. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to spread even more good words, hopefully, your way. Thank you for listening in to WMUC today. Again, my name is DJ Audio. This is the remix by DJ Audio, Season 5, Episode 11. Shout out to the passing of Africa Bambaataa again. Thank you, sir, for being a legend. You kicked off the show today, and you kicked off a culture of uplifting music, in my opinion. You bought out that voice. You and Queen Latifah and Moni Love with Ladies First and Planet Rock just bought so much up to say, look, we need to have more voice in hip-hop than just party culture and club and, you know, sex and all these other things that have become indoctrinated within the industry. There's more. And so, perfectly, that's out there for you all, ladies and gentlemen, as well. To see that there is more. And with that being said, we now go to the power prayer. So, Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and for the pain. Thank you for the sun and the rain. I thank you for the ability to pray and be grateful and give thanks. Father God, I know times might seem tough right now, but help us remember that you brought us out of past tribulations that looking back on, we don't know how. God, you are so reliable, non-quantifiable. You even left us basic instructions for living within your Bible. Oh, how tribal that we are gifted to be one with you in the family of Christ. I pray that you help my brothers and sisters in the world make it through, because Lord, nobody else can, nobody else. Save them like you do. Raise them like you do. Tame the storm like you do. I love you, but not just for that reason, but for absolutely everything you do throughout all four seasons, until the day I stop breathing, to the day I see no more bleeding, till the hungers of starving families are quenched by food that is eaten. I will keep repeating. I love you, Lord, from the sunrise of my birth to my birth coming, to the sunset of my earth leaving. In Jesus' name I pray, thank, and say to you, from before this morning to beyond this evening, amen. Take care, ladies and gentlemen. Have a safe week.
Caution, the next selection involves intense musical progressions that cross cultural barriers and color lines, intended for spiritually mature audiences only.
This is for Maria and for Megan, for Cody and Jesus, my man Toby from DC Talk, to all the young believers, like this, y'all.
Can you feel me? Can you hear me? God, I need you. Can you see me?
Can you see me?
Get your hands up, people,
cause I thought you knew
that these praises going up,
got these blessings coming down.